The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity calls to mind the most fundamental tenet of Catholic faith, of Christian faith, really. Anyone who claims Christ as Lord certainly confesses the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And, of course, this is one of the most difficult topics to preach on because we only really know about the Holy Trinity by analogy. And there have been historic ones over the years that have been used. For instance, St. Patrick, the co-patron of this archdiocese, famously used the shamrock. Some people in more modern era, more modern explanations like to use, for instance, this flame. It has the flame itself materially, but then there's also the light and the heat. There's also the image of water, which is in liquid form, vapor form, and ice form. Even more helpful, perhaps, is the idea of three business partners who enter into an agreement together and perhaps have some success, hopefully, at least they hope. Whatever the case may be, all of these analogies that I mentioned, these images, all fall short, as analogies do by nature. So we can only really talk about the Trinity, again, analogously, with analogs. It's not always so easy. And of course, even as we try to raise children in the Catholic faith, the Trinity is so fundamental to our experience, right, that one of the first prayers that we try to teach children is the sign of the cross. And, you know, first you start with them doing with their left hand, okay, and you have to get the right hand going the right direction. And then you've seen this all happen. You know, if you have children or grandchildren, you've seen, right, all the sort of very endearing ways that children like to make the sign of the cross. What's the first thing we do when we walk into a Catholic church? We take holy water, we bless ourselves. So what I want to do today is actually, per the gospel we just heard from Matthew 28, talk about, practically speaking, what is the action of the Holy Trinity in our lives? And here I just want to concentrate on one dimension, just to keep things simple, and that is the interaction between the Trinity and each of us through our frequent and worthy reception of the sacraments. Because so often, I'd find that people reduce the sacraments to merely rituals. They're just ceremonies, right? So people will say after Mass, "Nice service, Father," right? And it don't mean anything harmful by it, I assume, but we don't do a service here. That's Protestant. We do sacrifice. And so, for instance, in the Mass, the words of the Mass are addressed to the Father. The priest acts in the person of the Son. And it's the Holy Spirit that carries the sacrifice of the altar to God the Father in heaven. This is why, historically, Mass is always said with the priest facing the altar, not facing the congregation, because the priest was not praying to the people, but praying to the Father. So he stands out in front like a shepherd who leads his sheep. Who, by the way, if you've ever been around shepherds, they don't lead their sheep like tour guides. Right? They walk ahead of their sheep. Listen to these words: "God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and poured out the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God grant you pardon and peace, and I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Have you heard those words and you know those words by heart? That's a good sign. That means you go to confession frequently. If you haven't heard those words in a long time, it's time to step it up. This is precisely where the Trinity meets us, in the sacraments. There are other ways that the Trinity meets us, for sure. But the way that the Trinity meets us par excellence is through the sacraments. Recently, I did a wedding of two very good friends, and it was beautiful to hear them say the words as they exchanged rings. They said to each other, "Accept this ring as a sign of my love and fidelity in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Time and time again, the Trinity keeps on popping up in our encounter with God through the sacraments. You see, this is exactly why when people don't receive the sacraments with regularity, it's a form of spiritual self-sabotage. Because this is precisely where God desires to pour the inner life of His being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into our souls. It's not just prayer. It's just not prayer. The reception of the sacraments is absolutely key. This is a phenomenon we're still dealing with in the church in a post-COVID era. Many people still think it's perfectly acceptable to attend Mass on live stream. That is not true. There is a substantial difference between receiving the Blessed Sacrament here and watching it happen on television. Of course, here I'm excluding our shut-ins and those who simply cannot leave home to attend Mass. I'm talking about people who ordinarily are up and about, going out to eat, taking kids to practice, etc., etc. But you see, the Trinity is not interested in just looking down from heaven and seeing what we're up to down here. God is actually pursuing us to pour His very life into our souls, if only we will engage and encounter Him in the sacraments. And it is why, for instance, in Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20, our gospel today, notice what Jesus' first command to the disciples as He missions them to evangelize the world. He says, "Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach and to them to observe all that I've commanded you." So you see, the Trinity immediately evokes this idea that we do not have a passive God that's sort of disinterested in our lives. He's so interested in our lives that He actually gave us seven sacraments where we can encounter Him. The bread and butter sacraments for most Catholics is attending Mass to receive the Eucharist, the source and the summit of the church's life, and reception of the sacrament of penance, going to confession. Those are the bread and butter sacraments. You ask any parish priest, typically speaking, when it comes to time allotted spent on the sacraments, those are the two sacraments that they spend their most time on, Mass and confessions, right? Confirmations every so often, baptisms, weddings every so often. Certainly ordinations only take place once a year, and weddings here and there, but Mass and confession. So it's a good idea today, and I'll leave you with this thought, just to consider our participation at Mass. Do we come to the Holy Sacrifice with a spirit of receptivity, openness, with open arms, open hands, so that we can receive all that the Trinity wants to pour into our souls? So often I hear, "Father, you know, I don't get anything out of Mass." That's a very consumerist attitude. It's called transference. Everything else in the world, we're about consuming. What do I get out of things? Very utilitarian, pragmatic, and sometimes narcissistic. My question is, what do we bring to Mass, if only, an open heart to receive all that the Trinity wishes to do? And as we receive the Trinity then, let us then contemplate one simple truth. We are tasked with a deep interiority, a deep spiritual life of prayer, to listen to listen to what the Trinity is saying, one person to the other, within that first primordial community of love poured into our hearts. This spirit of receptivity isn't just about receiving the sacraments then. It's also having ears to hear, to tune in to the frequency of what the Trinity is trying to do in us. Many times we call these the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But friends, remember, whenever we talk about one member of the Holy Trinity, the other two are also there. They're inseparable, absolutely inseparable. So this mystery that we celebrate today, as you can see, is far more than a curious museum piece that we can observe at a distance with some admiration. In fact, we're supposed to give it total adoration. But even intellectually, we could at least appreciate its complexity. But rather, it's something much more. It's an invitation to receive, to listen, and then finally to act. Let us pray that the Holy Trinity, who is made an indwelling in each of our souls by baptism, will be animated and vivified by our frequent and worthy receptions of the sacraments of the Eucharist and the sacrament of penance, going to confession regularly, so that we can be renewed time and time again by this most awesome reality of our triune God. May our Lord be praised, adored, and loved, both now and forever. Amen.